Are we ready? Let's run to him, okay? Say, Father, I need ears to hear. Not according to my conception, but according to your revelation. I ask that you open my eyes to see. Not just to what I want. To see. But your plan. Written for me. A heart to perceive. What your spirit has already prepared. In my DNA. In Jesus' name. I pray. Okay. At some point, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 to 23. I'm not going to read it because I've already declared it at the communion table. Participation in the body of Christ is definitely important. And you can rehearse it. It's not all about how you participate. It's your focus that's important. And I'm going to take you to chapter 11, starting verse 23. Chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, I've heard all kinds of shadows of teachings on this. And what I would say to you is this. Don't park at the first explanation. I've learned that when I first received Holy Communion, I had a child's heart with a child's mentality. Later on, he began to push buttons. And my unbelief was definitely present. What I shared with you at that table is a fraction of what he's done over the years. I'm not going to go into details about what he did with me. What I am interested in is that you don't park at the first revelation. Got it? Parking at the first revelation is only the top layer of what he does. And if you keep that child-like faith in what he wants to do in you, he will manifest new revelations as you go forward in becoming a greater adult in him. You see, the revelator is the Holy Spirit. And he will remind you of everything Jesus taught that's hidden in between the lines. St. Paul had an understanding of the word. Sometimes it was greater than those who had the understanding of walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. And St. Peter points that out. He says some of Paul's revelations are hard to digest. What was the problem? What was the issue?
Contrary to what they were taught.
Contrary to what they were taught. That's part of it. And they had to unlearn stuff, just like I did and maybe you'll have to do someday. And I'm not pushing any buttons that you got to readjust your thinking. I'm just saying, don't park at the first revelation. How many know what I'm talking about and tasted it? Put your hand way up. Wave it around a little bit. See, you need to be aware that this revelation is progressive. There are areas where I still struggle and I say to the Holy Spirit, get through to me. I don't know what you have to do, but get through to me. Because I know how thick I can be. Amen. Oh, I got a few friends. Because we all have corners that are thick. You know why? Because we like comfort. Oh my God, I can smell the roast beef. It must be just about right. I can tell it's going to be great, and you break it open and it's dead. It's dry. It doesn't taste good. It had the smell. So you got to turn it into a pot roast. And make some gravy to juice it up a little. What you do in the kitchen, you adjust. What you'll do in your life with the body of Christ is adjust. Adjust to the next level of what He wants you to taste. It may not be what your neighbor is ready for. Don't compare notes. Share when He tells you to share what He has done and what He is doing in you. When He says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For wherever you eat this bread, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Until He comes where? In us. Until He starts to manifest in you and me. And when He does, what happens? When the nature of the Christ, the Anointed One, manifests through you, tell me what happens in your house.
A storm.
Who's got all hell breaks loose? Why? Because you are in irritation. It's not because the devil's angry. It has nothing to do with the devil. It has a lot to do with how much light's flowing through you. And it does irritate the darkness. So close your eyes for a moment. Say, the devil's not my problem.
The devil's not my problem.
The light flowing out of me.
The light flowing out of me.
Irritates the darkness.
Irritates the darkness.
But one light.
In
a box of darkness. Changes the nature of the box. I've got a big light inside me. It's a bug zapper. So when I get close
to
anyone with darkness,
sometimes they get zapped.
And they don't like it. Amen? You see, there was a season in my life that everything was about the darkness and what the darkness did and what the darkness did there and there and there. And it was the focus because I needed to learn it. And I know Ephesians 6:12 is the same today as it was then. It's my battle is not against flesh and blood. So don't get upset with people. They're not your problem. But the more light you have, they will get zapped. But if you're low light, you will attract them. Low light is like a flickering candle about ready to go out. Just fluctuating. Like one of these little things there that you see. The bugs see that and, oh my God, look at this. I've got them. That means you need more of Him inside of you. And the only way you're going to get there is by taking time with Him and spending time with Him. Quietly before Him. Read the Word. Take time with Him. Take time in quietness so that He can rebuild you. I was quite famous for how late I could sleep before I went to work. had a history. You know why? I stayed up as long as I could so that my brain would be zonked so that I could sleep because of the pressure. And I would sleep till the last possible moment, grab a bite to eat, and run to work. Whatever time I happened to be starting at work. But when the Holy Ghost came in, the light came on. Sometimes I was up at 5, 6, 7. Didn't go to work till 8. But I would spend time with him. Sometimes when I couldn't sleep, I'd read and I'd study the word till about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Then I'd go to bed, sleep till 6, and go to work. After I studied for a couple more hours, what I was doing is I was putting some ammunition and some fuel so the fire could burn brightly. When the Holy Ghost kept coming, and he kept instigating me to get more of him, I got accused of everything under the sun, that I was going to break down or have a breakdown because I wasn't sleeping enough, because they were going about the evidence of doctors. The doctor says, if you don't get 8 hours, you're going to have a nervous breakdown. Don't believe it. If God gets you up and he gets you into the word for 3 hours, you ain't going to have no breakdown. You're going to have a break up. Amen. You're not going to be going down. You're going to be going up. Your flame will irritate more darkness and it'll zap the bugs instead of being there like a little light attracting them. I can preach louder than her. Don't worry. Don't worry. I know how to open my mouth and I know he knows how to fill it. Psalm 81, by the way, I'll confirm. I've had it for 3 days. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats and the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give you further direction. All right. I've had multiples of teachings on that level. And I've had people say that you had to go through a routine of repentance. Truly, when you look at what the Passover meal was and what it was intended to do, has nothing to do with repentance. Because you see, on the Day of Atonement, they were already forgiven for a year. Did they need to repent in order to take the lamb?
No.
No. There was no need. They were in the light. We are in the body of Christ. Mistakes are made by human beings. Okay? So it's not what you judge your brother or sister on. It's how you feel about that body and blood when you go to that table. If you really believe that it is his flesh and his blood, then your flesh and your blood is about to change. And there's going to be a drama going on inside of you because your unbelief is going to be exposed. How many of you went to the table and you found yourself wondering, I wonder if it's going to work? Put your hand up. Thank you. You're being honest. I wonder if it's going to work. You know what? When you wonder, is that called unbelief? Not really, because see, you're wondering. There's a hope that it's going to work. Yet there's something underneath that says, well, if I was really holy, then it would work. How many believe that? If I was really holy, then I could have my victory. Put your hand up if you believe it. All right, there's a few of you on that. All right? All of the above need to change. Okay? All of the above need to change. We need to know that it is the Lamb. That's the discernment that he's talking about. This is the Lamb that was slain. Do this in remembrance of me. If he meant it, then we need to have an awareness of what he meant he will do. If that's his blood, then my blood's going to get a radical change.
Amen.
Okay? If it's not his blood, what have I done? I've gone back into my head. Tell me what good that you're going to find out of your own head. A lot of pressure. A lot of questions. And like my sister said, sometimes you go to the grocery store and you get a little dizzy. Why?
You're overwhelmed.
You're overwhelmed? How many of you have been in a public building and you've gotten dizzy? There was nothing radically wrong with you. Put your hand way up. You need to see each other. Some of it is because there's a radical amount of darkness in the room and your light is flickering. And you need to immediately start praising and thanking the Lord for your protection. Don't wait. You don't need to concentrate on darkness. That is useless. In fact, it gives them a lot of what?
Glory.
Thank you. So don't glorify the darkness. Glorify the one who's inside. Give him praise. Say, Lord, I thank you that my shield is on the job, that you have my rear guard, and I am not going to bow to this darkness in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
But the awareness that he is present in that flesh and blood changes your attitude toward yourself and to those around you. It also will change your attitude towards what you have that is difficult that you're struggling with, whatever that level may be. Because you see, the Holy Spirit didn't write this down through Paul because something didn't need to be adjusted. The Corinthians were going in a natural realm. Some of them went there starved and they ate the whole bread. Didn't think about anybody else. And that's what you're going to read in the other chapter. But you see, we need to be able to see why that lamb was so famous. He says, I am the Lamb of God who takes away. Oh. Try it on again. He is the Lamb of God who takes away. Which sin? The sins of the world are included. For those who believe in him, it's done deal. It's a done deal. People confess it and they don't believe it. Oh, well, there's no hope for the world. They're all going down the tube. No! They'll bow their knee on the day appointed. Because their sins are forgiven too if they just accept the one who went to the cross. On the 700 Club this week, there was a young man. Did anybody happen to catch a Muslim? He went to college. While he was in college, one of his friends happened to be a Christian. Talked to him about Jesus. And he talked to his friend about Muhammad. And they compared notes. Then they decided that they were going to prove that theirs was the right one. And he read a biography of Muhammad. Come to find out, this guy was not what he wrote that he was. And that his theology did not go well. So when he read what Jesus had done, and the incredible reality that his tomb was empty and Muhammad's was still full, and had a dead body in it.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. The dead body was what? Evidence. So he rethought his upbringing. And he decided to accept Jesus as his Lord. What do you think happened when he went home and told him?
Ostracized. Like
he was ostracized, and it's been 8 years, and his mother's still crying every day. But he says, I know that God is on the job taking care of me, and he's going to take care of all the Muslims. So the Muslims are not your problem. No. Where is your problem?
Yeah. Amen.
For those of you who are listening to this, I'm pointing to my head. My head can overrule God's head. So rejoice. Give thanks. I think I'm hearing a bell. Say, Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way.
With each of us today. We got the message. Amen and amen. Share some hugs.